Welcome back to the Popcorn Hour. I'm your co-host, James. That's your co-host, Matt. And today we're going to be talking about The Smashing Machine, which just came out, Monsters Season 3, The Ed Gein Story, Simpsons Movie, Tron Ares coming out this week. We have stuff with, like, Peacemaker. We have news this week.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So what have you watched since two days ago?
Finished The Ed Gein Story.
Oh. Wow.
That yeah.
Fast.
Episode seven. Yeah. Episode seven. The acting that Charlie Hunnam does is so good. It's crazy how good it is. And I know a lot of people aren't too much liking this show because it's not super accurate.
Yeah. People don't like Ryan Murphy that much because he likes to dramatize it a lot.
Yeah.
So he adds a lot and then. Yeah.
But it makes it more interesting.
I've seen a lot of stuff where people don't like what he's doing with like Alfred Hitchcock's character.
Yeah, but I mean he's such a small part of that show that it's not feel like it wasn't that big of a deal. But I like the whole show as a whole. It was parts of it were a little weird and
Mom said it was probably a little too dark for her to finish.
Mm. Yeah, it's very dark, but I think the way Ed Gein is portrayed in the show, I think it works for what Ryan Murphy was trying to do.
Hmm.
So, I like that a lot. Then I watched I Know What You Did Last Summer, the first one, the original one. Never seen it. It was okay. And then I watched I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. That one was not good.
Well,
okay. At all.
I figured.
So, that's about it, man.
I watched... I didn't log it because I watched it really passively and because I'm two away from 180
mm-hmm.
For the year. So, saving those two spots. But I passively watched the interview.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's it?
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So, let's get into the box office numbers.
Yeah.
Number one up here. Well, okay. Well, this is out of order for some reason. So, this is completely wrong. I do not have the numbers for this week.
Okay. Well, I guess we can start.
The numbers for like 2 months ago.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. Well, I guess we could start with the Smashing Machine then, because I know that one made $6 million on its opening weekend, which everybody's saying is really low. I don't necessarily think it's low. What's I the think it's
budget for this. It's low considering I feel like
compared
it's
to
an A24 and a Benny Safdie.
But my thing is like the Smashing Machine is for they try to make it for everybody, but in reality it's for a very small group of people.
It didn't. So the production budget was $50 million, which doesn't include like promotional stuff. And they spent a lot on the promotional stuff. So it's probably closer to 100, and they're like a tenth of that. But usually, I mean, like Superman, like did better like the second week.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff does a little better the second week.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people also take like. They won't go watch stuff opening day anymore. They wait at least a week to see what other people are saying about it to see if it's worth their time since going to the movies is so expensive these days. But it's also, it's a niche audience. It's a small audience. It's people that like mixed martial arts, that like The Rock.
A24,
the biopic stuff. Like
Benny Safdie.
Yeah. So like, I feel like it's a very small group that will go watch this. And there's a lot of people that don't like The Rock, period. So they don't want to go see anything that he's in, no matter what it is. So I think that's pretty much where it's at. So I don't think necessarily it's a bad opening weekend. In the whole thing, yeah, it could be considered not a good opening weekend. But for the specific audience that I think...
I feel like it'll thrive on streaming, though.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it definitely will. But... I mean, I think it's a fine start for what it is.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't even... Before, like, I'm not really a MMA fan as big as you or Mikey, but...
Oh, yeah, I'm starting again on Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah, that stuff at my college finally got settled.
Nice. Okay. But I didn't... I've heard the name Mark Kerr, but I didn't know really who he was. So that's another thing. He's only really well known by people that like MMA or UFC or whatever the case may be, so...
Well, another thing with, like, Benny Safdie is he did the same thing with Adam Sandler. It was like Adam Sandler is going to be in another and is going to be in a serious role again because he did Punch Drunk Love first, but he was like, oh, he's going to be in, like, a serious role, and everyone was like, well, that's weird. This is the same thing that's happening with The Rock. Everyone's like, oh, that's weird. And then people at first did not like Uncut Gems. Now it's kind of like a... Not a cult classic because it came out like 6 years ago, but
I've only seen good things about that movie.
Yeah, it's great. It's got a Criterion.
I've never watched it.
It's a good movie. I've seen it twice.
Nice.
And the score, same with, I mean, Good Time also. People didn't really like Good Time when it first came out, but people kind of like it more now. I know a lot of people don't like it still just because you can feel-ish that it's early on in their career, but it's Benny and Josh Safdie did amazing on it. I really enjoyed it. I love the score, but I feel like the Uncut Gems score is a slightly more like revitalized version of the Good Time score.
Yeah.
And I think the Uncut Gems score is more of a Good Time than Good Time score.
Okay. That's a little confusing, but okay. All right.
Yeah. But I think in a few years, people are like, okay, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when Smashing Machine gets to streaming, eventually, it'll do really, really well.
Because, I mean, that's happening a lot with a lot of movies this year. Like, Wes Anderson's Phoenician Scheme, when I watched it, I was kind of like a little... I enjoyed it a lot, but I was a little disappointed because it just didn't have that Wes Anderson feel that you get when you finish a Wes Anderson movie. But, like, now thinking back on it, I was like, okay, yeah, I really enjoyed that. Same with Eddington. People now are, like, coming around to Ari Aster's Eddington. Like, everyone was like, that movie might have been actually, like, genius. But
okay. All right.
It's a common trend I've seen with movies this year.
Yeah.
Damn it, Mickey 17. I didn't really like it. I know a lot of people didn't really like it, and I guess they kind of like it more now.
Because they can watch it for free.
Yeah.
Free-ish. Yeah. So going to the movies is expensive these days.
Yeah. Like, it's
for the insane. Two of us to go for
him.
Tickets and like snacks or whatever, it's like $80.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. And a lot of people don't have time to go to the movies anymore either. Like, I barely have time to go to the movies, even though like I feel like I have time. I just don't. So, all right. My next one, the Simpsons movie sequel is going to come out in 2027.
Well, okay, that's a big, like, okay.
I really liked, we talked about this the other day, yeah. I really liked the first one.
I
watched it a bunch when it came out 20 years ago.
I'm just not a 5-year-old. I'm just,
yeah.
I'm just not a big, I'm not a big Simpsons guy.
Yeah.
I just didn't really care for it when I was a kid.
I used to watch it religiously, like weekly. Yeah, it's been on for so long.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
It was on since Dad was a kid.
Yeah. It's been on for so long and. I'm surprised they haven't done more movies like that. I mean, the first one, I think, was... It had a lot of... It wasn't necessarily in sequence with the show. But it definitely had a lot of adventure and kept people entertained. So, I liked it a lot. I'm excited to see what this next one is going to be about. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, apparently, there's rumors... that there will be a Ocean's 14.
Yeah, with George Clooney returning.
Yeah. And I think I know specifically why this is happening. I think they're kind of bouncing back to this Ocean franchise. So they're doing, I don't know if this prequel thing is still happening. I kind of hope it doesn't. For like the sake of the story. But depending on how far along they are, they shouldn't just cancel it. But... I think it's because of the movie Wolves that came out last year that, like, nobody watched, but it was Brad Pitt and George Clooney. I think that kind of sparked it up again. Everyone was like, oh, Oceans was fun. Just do that again. So I think that's probably where that's coming from.
Okay. Interesting.
Because that was like the whole selling point of the movie is mm-hmm. Brad Pitt and George Clooney returning on screen.
Yeah. So. Okay. Nice. We're getting a Beekeeper 2. Did you watch The Beekeeper?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I watched maybe 20 minutes of it, like the last 20 minutes of it, and I couldn't get into it. But Jason Statham is returning. Also, they've casted Adam Copeland, in, otherwise known in WWE as Edge, as one of the actors that will be in this movie. Hmm. So I'm going to redo that. That was weird. Okay. We're getting another Beekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the first one?
Nope. Yep. Wait, I'm so... okay, wait, what?
We're redoing what I just said because okay. I didn't like how I delivered that.
Okay. I'll cut this out.
Okay. Yes, you're going to cut it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're getting another Beekeeper movie.
Mm-hmm.
You watched the first one?
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
I didn't either. I watched the last 20 minutes of it and it was not good. But Jason Statham is returning. Also, they have casted Adam Copeland, otherwise known in WWE as Edge, in this movie as well. So I don't think that's enough for me to go watch it, but
yeah. I'm tired of these. Jesus. I mean, I like the mechanic.
The mechanic was good. I like Transporter.
I didn't really care. I didn't care for like Transporter 2 and 3.
No, I didn't. I liked the first one. And that was about it.
I kind of think I like the mechanic 2 more.
Yeah, I just am tired of these cookie cutter type movies, mm-hmm. like the cookie cutter action movies where it's like a retired CIA special ops person that their past comes back to haunt them and they have to go back in and kill a bunch of people and yada, yada, yada.
I hate, because it's weird. It's kind of like how the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, people don't like that movie. I don't understand why people don't like that movie, but
it's better than Rocket Man.
Yeah, but every year since that movie's came out, there's been like that really just sparked up that trend of musical biopic every year.
Mm-hmm.
And John Wick, the scene in the first one where they're in the nightclub, every action movie like that from now on has a stupid fight scene in a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think all these movies stemmed from Jason Bourne
mm-hmm.
because that was just... Everyone loves Jason Bourne. Like
I would say everybody.
At least the Bourne Identity. Like that one's a...
The first three are good.
Yeah.
The first three are good.
I don't like the Jeremy Renner one.
I don't either. Or the last one that they did.
Yeah. No, that one was just called Bourne? Or was that just called Jason Bourne? I think it was Bourne.
I think it was Bourne.
Oh. Well, anyway, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
But it's... I think that one is the root mm-hmm. of them all. And it also started that trend of like the close quarters combat, like using mm-hmm. your surroundings. The first one is good and that was good, but every action movie after it just tried to be Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a blessing and a curse because it's like, oh, this is cool. We get more of these, but they're all bad.
I'm cool with like the action sequences. It's the story that bothers me because I don't want to watch the same thing over and over and over again with just a different cast or even like the same people.
I also think John Wick probably added to it because I like Jason Bourne. I like John Wick. I like the first two John Wicks.
Yeah.
And then like the Jason Bourne trilogy, but it like Jason Bourne kind of inspired a few, mm-hmm. but then after John Wick, it
mm-hmm.
every single one of them is the same.
Yeah, I don't
like the Equalizer was slightly different. I liked that one though.
Yeah, the Equalizer was pretty good.
Still kind of a generic concept. Though Equalizer was a TV show.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't even know what the Beekeeper was about. I just know like it ended with somebody dying, and it was just weird.
The most generic one of those movies is The Gray Man by the Russo brothers. Mm-hmm. Did you watch that?
No.
Like, it was so cookie gutter, textbook. Like, it just felt like the plot was, like, the storyboard was made on GPT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just,
it was
just like watching vanilla ice cream.
Not much there.
Like, you're just like, oh,
it's generic.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to watch The Beekeeper 2. I don't think I'll go back and watch the whole Beekeeper movie.
I don't think I would. Mm-mm. But so this Friday, we have 3 movies getting released. We have Roof Man.
Okay.
With Channing Tatum. We have Soul on Fire, which is a Sony movie. And Tron Ares.
Okay. Roof Man looks really good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Roof Man. I think I'm going to go see it this weekend.
Nice. Okay.
Because the theater up in North Carolina is not playing one bad after another.
Oh, okay. Really? Why?
I don't know. That's They're weird. Not playing it anymore.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm going to go see Roof Man.
Nice. Tron Ares, it looks interesting.
Yeah.
And it seems to be getting
a I'm lot excited of for the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because I do like the Daft Punk soundtrack mm-hmm. from Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. So
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll be entertaining. But
I don't think it's gonna be good. Like no, I mean, like
Jared Leto in it.
It's, yeah. He's got his that
movies
curse.
Aren't that
great. He's a good actor.
He's okay. He's okay.
You didn't like Morbius?
No, I didn't like Morbius. A lot of people didn't like his Joker, which I didn't mind it. Yeah, I'm just not. Like, I think you just should stick to music. And even though his music isn't, like, super great, they do put on a good show.
Yeah. I like the, in Fight Club, when Brad Pitt says, when we were young or whatever, we were all told that we were going to be movie gods and rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
And we're slowly learning that that's not true. But when he says rock stars, he looks straight into Jared Leto's eyes. Just that's, straight at him.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I don't know. Tron Ares is interesting. I've never watched the Tron movie, so.
Any of them?
No.
So, I like Tron Legacy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad movie.
Like, you ever watched the original one?
Not fully.
No.
Because I think Dad tried to get me to watch it mm-hmm. when Tron came out. And I was like, this looks terrible. I'll just stick to Tron.
Yeah.
And now watching it, I'm like, well, mostly the deep fakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It just looks bad. But mm-hmm. all the other visual effects are fine.
Okay.
They're really good. I like the world. Probably my favorite, actually, Disney, like, intro.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's not good. I don't know why people, like, praise it so much for, like, it's a good, like, oh, it's an amazing movie. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a bad movie.
Mm. Okay.
And both those characters aren't even going to be in Tron Ares, apparently.
They're oh, really?
Probably going to have some sort of cameo, but pretty sure his name is Sam. Mm-hmm. I think Sam is going to have any...
Oh, see, and that's another problem with sequels. If you don't bring back the original cast, it's like bothersome to me because I feel like I have no invested interest in it anymore because you're like, that's what, because I wanted to watch the new, I Know What You Did Last Summer
mm-hmm.
that just came out. And then, so I watched the first two and I was like, okay, like now I'm ready to watch the third one. And I thought it was already on like, just a normal, like Paramount or whatever, but it's still only on Prime Video and it's $10. So I watched the trailer and I was like, do I want to spend $10 on this to rent it? And so I watched the trailer and I was like, I initially thought, since I had never seen it before, I thought all the like Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Jennifer Love Hewitt were all returning. It's not the case, specifically for one. And I thought it was going to be centered around them, but it's centered around a new group of people, and then Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jennifer Love Hewitt just have cameos, it seems like, based off of the trailer. I haven't watched it yet, but based off of the trailer, it just seems like they're just going to have a small part, and it's not going to be anything that I care to watch or pay to watch. I'll probably watch it if it ever goes to like Paramount or Netflix or whatever, because mm-hmm. I think the first one is on Paramount, the second one is on Netflix, so... Between one of those two. I don't know. But I don't like sequels that you change the entire cast.
Yeah, it's just like Hollow Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Pacific Rim 2?
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, if you're not going to bring back the main character, I don't care to watch it.
Oh, that was also in, like, I mean, not good, but the G.I. Joe, the two mm-hmm. live-action movies, they got rid of, I mean, Channing Tatum just didn't want to do it, so like, okay, we'll just kill you.
Yeah, within the first 5 minutes. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, they've cast... So, I'm assuming you've heard about this, like, quadrilogy Beatles biopic thing?
Yeah.
So, they've all been casted.
Mm-hmm.
We have Paul Mescal is Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Barry Keoghan as Ringo.
Who's that?
Played the Joker in the Batman.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Harris Dickinson as John and Joseph Quinn as George.
What was the last one?
Joseph Quinn.
Oh, okay.
As George. I think Joseph Quinn's kind of getting the Jeremy Allen White, not treatment, but Jeremy Allen White type of thing where he is known for a show and then now is just getting thrown into all these like A24 projects and stuff like that and becoming like a, like kind of building up his street cred as an actor.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that'd be interesting.
I liked him in Warfare a lot. He did really good.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, Alex Garland did just such a strange but great job with that movie. It doesn't even like feel like a movie. It's weird. Yeah. But,
so is this Beatles thing, it's going to be four movies based off of each one of their...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That'll be interesting. Because I feel like if they just did one, it would be... There wouldn't be enough time in the movie to cover all the important stuff.
Yeah, even if you did it in like 4 hours, an hour on each character, it'd still be a little weird.
Yeah. So, okay, I like that a lot, actually. That might be actually be really good if they do it right.
There's going to be so much marketing, though. Like, if each movie comes out at the same time, or I guarantee you if it is successful, then each... I'm sure they're going to have, like, steel case covers, like that line up into something.
That would be cool. Yeah. All right. Well, we got some Highlander news. The WWE superstar Drew McIntyre has been cast in Highlander and will play Henry Cavill's brother.
Okay.
And I feel like that could work out really well because, I mean, they don't look alike, but they definitely could look like brothers, especially with the size that they both are and things like that. So that's cool.
So director of Weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Is doing the Resident Evil reboot.
Yep.
But this doesn't say who, but it says Severance, True Detective, and Twisted Metal actors will be in the cast of this movie.
Which True Detective season?
I don't know. It just says True Detective.
Because, I mean, each Severance season is different with another cast.
It says Twisted Metal, so I wonder if Anthony Mackie...
Probably.
...is going to be in it, or Will Arnett. Even though he really wasn't in that much. Those are the only two people I can think of because I only watched the first episode on accident.
No, we watched it. We tried to watch it.
It played after we watched something, and I was like, what is this?
Ted. We watched the Ted show. Peacock. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, this one is the thing I am the most excited for. I've been thinking about this all day. Kill Bill. You seen Kill Bill?
Yes.
Kill Bill, not Volume 1, not Volume 2. The whole bloody affair will be re-released in, I think, just select IMAX theaters. But December 5th on 70mm IMAX.
Okay. The whole bloody affair is both movies
sliced together.
Sliced together to create one movie. How long is that?
It's like a little over 3 hours.
Okay.
Because Tarantino didn't want it to be two movies, but... They're like, you can't have a movie that long. Kind of like how they're like, you can't have Bohemian Rhapsody. I can't type like the song. They're like, oh, you can't release this on the radio.
Yep. It's too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The whole bloody affair is 247 minutes.
Okay.
So it's like, it's actually 4 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Nice. Select theaters only?
I think. But I will hunt down one of these theaters. I know Tarantino, he has his own movie theater, and he like plays his movie sometimes, but he plays Kill Bill as the whole bloody affair.
Okay. Nice. John Lithgow, he was casted in the new Harry Potter series as Dumbledore, and we got some set photos.
Oh.
And it looks pretty good of just Dumbledore. Like they're on like a beach. And
I don't know. I don't know if I'm excited for this show or not. There's just been like so much random stuff.
I feel like it's not necessary to do it.
Yeah.
But I understand like the point. Like you've been working on it for so long. Yeah. I feel like you want to get new audiences invested. And I feel like if you, after a lot of time goes by, the younger audience isn't going to be necessarily infused with the original movies.
Yeah. So that's what I'm wondering is going to happen.
Yeah.
How are they going to revitalize it for...
Well, I think them doing a series, I think, works out pretty well. Because then you can... Because I think a lot of people didn't like the parts of the movies because...
It skipped out so much?
It skipped out on a lot of stuff that were in the books. So maybe they will actually use that. And, I mean, it's probably going to be an 8-episode season.
Yeah.
So, which is, you know, that's what it is. But, yeah, I don't know. Let me see if I can picture this.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting tired of these 8-episode stuff.
I am too. I want something that I can really watch for a long time.
Speaking of 8 episodes, well, actually 6. Peaky Blinders to 6 episodes, and they're doing a sequel series to the show, and oh, wow, he looks completely different.
Yeah.
And they're also doing the Peaky Blinders movie.
So yeah,
that's still...
They're also, I guess, considering doing 2 more seasons after the movie comes out for Peaky Blinders.
Well, okay. Well, because that's so weird. I didn't finish it. Mm-hmm. I got like halfway through season 5.
How many seasons are there?
Like 6.
Okay.
But see, it could have ended at season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Season 5 seemed like a finale, and then season 6 is like they're like, oh, we're done. But I guess not.
Yeah, I've been really wanting to watch the series.
I know someone recently that just watched it all in like a week, 2 weeks.
Crazy. How many episodes per season?
6.
6?
I think it's 6.
Oh, really? It's a short
show? But it is the slowest burning show I've ever seen. Yeah, it's really just kind of like just sitting there with it.
That's what I'm worried about.
That's what I like a lot about it, but I don't want to watch too many episodes back to back to back.
Mm. Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, John Lithgow's Dumbledore, I think he... Very reminiscent of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone movie, where it was the original actor who played Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look it up to make sure. Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. 1... Cast.
Because I've been trying to ignore like set photos for everything because I don't want to see it.
Sometimes it's too much. Where is it? Richard Harris played the original Dumbledore, and then they switched him out later, but after he passed away. So I think John Lithgow looks more like Richard Harris's Dumbledore, which is nice.
I'm excited for Nick Frost though.
What?
Nick Frost is playing
Hagrid. Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I just hope it's worth doing.
I hope it's not like the Percy Jackson show.
What do you mean?
It was so rushed and just...
Yeah, okay, yeah, that is true. But I did like the show. I still like the movie.
I like the movie more.
I do too.
But the show did really good for like the first 2-3 episodes. It was just slow. They were just going with the story. And then it almost just like every episode that it just kept speeding up to the point where I was like, oh, this is
over. Yeah, the last 2 episodes of Percy Jackson definitely felt super rushed.
It was like the whole point is for him to climb Mount Olympus, and then he gets to the base and he's like, oh, this is going to take forever. And then it literally smash cuts to him being on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean,
he could have spent a whole episode up there.
In the movie, though, like they just get to whatever building. Yeah, it's just an elevator and they get to the top. But yeah, I guess it did kind of feel rushed. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see what happens when the next one.
I'm pretty sure the episodes were only like 30 minutes. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah, that is true. They were only 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if they did like an hour long,
it would have been enough.
Yeah, it would
have been. Which is weird because like they just completely lost all concepts of pacing.
Yeah. It's so weird. I don't know. I mean, same thing with Peacemaker. Like, season 2 just felt so short.
Yeah.
Even, like, yes, it's 8 episodes, and that's fine. But, like, some of the episodes were, like, 30 minutes long. I felt like we didn't get any.
One of them was 33. I think that was episode 5.
Yeah.
So, speaking of stuff that's coming out this week, season finale of Peacemaker comes out as of we're filming tomorrow. So, it'll already have been out.
I'm excited. Wow. The trailer it's gonna for be it looks so
over
good.
An hour. I guess this is our time to kind of get our pre-thoughts in before we watch it.
Yeah, I hope that they don't... I hope that it definitely obviously shows what is happening with the future of the DCU. But I don't want it to be feel rushed. And like they're going to obviously go through spoilers, dimensions, and opening up dimensional doors to figure out something. And I just don't want it to feel like they go through too many dimensional doors where it kind of loses the excitement. Yeah. It's like maybe pick three or four and then call it a day. Or like you just open up a door, realize what's there, and then you just close it. I hope kinda they like don't what necessarily they, do that.
Yeah, because they did that in like Shazam and not really Deadpool Wolverine. Like that was good.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed a lot.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that montage was fine. I was okay with that. But I just hope that the season finale is worth it for the DCU.
So what's the when is Lanterns coming out? Where is this on the timeline? Because the next thing that is coming out is Supergirl, right?
I think Lanterns might be before it. Okay. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm really excited for Lanterns because I know you're a Jon Stewart guy.
Yes.
I'm a Hal Jordan fella.
Okay. So, yeah.
And we've only gotten one like live action Hal Jordan. Wasn't a great movie at all. Honestly, the movie isn't bad up until the scene where they're at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie just drops everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I just hope that the visual effects and the suits are good. I hope it's better than what Guy Gardner wore in Superman.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I didn't care for that suit. I didn't care for the Justice Gang suits.
I understand except for, what they were doing.
I do too.
But like I'm ready to see their suits. I mean,
yeah.
Mr. Terrific's already has his jacket. He just needs to switch out the shirt.
Yeah.
His was probably
the closest. Best. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was just like his pants, his jacket, just a different shirt. Guy right. Gardner's was completely just not.
Yeah, it wasn't anywhere near what it could have been.
Throws me off with and stuff it made like him look that. Fat. Yeah. The only thing that throws me off with like if he's wearing like legit clothing is the suit is supposed to be a construct. And it just throws me off. I'm like, leather jacket.
Yeah.
But that's why I liked the Green Lantern movie. Like what they were going for, the concept was right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they went a little too far with it.
Yeah, they did.
Like the
yeah, make it.
I didn't realize I saw a thing about it the other day. You can like fully see his feet.
Oh really?
Like it looks like he's wearing like toe socks.
Oh.
And it's weird.
Ew. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that, but now I just. Sinestro's suit though was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just what they're doing for the like the visual effects artists, those people, I feel so bad.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I think the Lantern show will kind of do it justice. Apparently. So I guess Peacemaker's gonna hint at somebody. I can't remember who. I tried to just try to find it, but I couldn't find it. But it's all gonna connect in a way where. So do you know what Lanterns is supposed to be about?
Where yeah, it's
Alan Scott's dead.
Alan Scott is dead, and it's like a True Detective thing with Hal and John.
Yeah, and then so I guess Guy Gardner was demoted from his position, which is why we see him where he's at in the in Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're kind of going to get a piece of a particular villain in tomorrow's episode of Peacemaker. Also, it'll be kind of mentioned or figured out in Lanterns. It'll be mentioned in Supergirl. So I think Supergirl does come out first. And then also the Clayface movie, we'll say. So say this particular villain. I can't remember who it was, though, and I couldn't find it. But
I'm excited that we will not be... that I have not seen any Clayface like set release photos in a minute. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, I just saw the one where it shows him all beaten up, battered, whatever you want to call it, which looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm excited.
And then also with like Avengers Doomsday, they released someone found it or something. There's like a photo of everyone's, like, it's almost just like you just see a bust of them, basically from like the shoulders up.
Oh, it looks like it. Oh, it's the it's it looks like t-shirts
a,
that
yeah, it looks all like the character cast select and crew menu. Got.
Yeah.
Sounds like interesting. I'm excited that we're finally going to see Cyclops look like Cyclops.
Yes, me too.
One I'm the most excited for. Who's your favorite X-Men?
Wolverine. Hmm. Cyclops is a close second, though. And then Professor X.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I think it also kind of depends on what I'm watching. So, obviously, like, the original X-Men movies, Wolverine.
Yeah. Cyclops isn't your favorite in The Last Stand?
He's not there.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
He dies in the first, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
But, yeah, it just... The live action stuff, I think Wolverine's probably my favorite.
I don't like him. I don't like Cyclops in the prequels or in X-Men Origins.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I just feel like they missed the mark on it. And then I like Cyclops in
X-Men 97 and the original show.
Yes and no. X-Men 97, yes. The original X-Men. I mean, they're all kind of... I think I like Storm better in the original X-Men show. And then X-Men Evolution. Cyclops is probably my favorite. I think that's my favorite X-Men
project. Yeah. I like the animation style of that one a lot compared to the original one. But, like, 97 was just so...
It was good, yeah.
It was really campy, but... Yeah.
I think it worked. It worked for what it was trying to do, so yeah. Yeah. Last thing I have for movie news. Why does it keep doing that?
What?
My notes keep making a new note when I don't do anything. So we talked about Monster, the Ed Gein story at the beginning. So in the first 3 days on Netflix, it picked up 12.2 million views, which is a lot, even though people are saying that nobody's watched it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I really, really liked that show for what it was doing.
But you didn't watch the Eric and Lyle Menendez one.
Not yet. I will. I watched Dahmer.
I didn't finish Dahmer.
Dahmer was good. I think Dahmer was more accurate to the actual story of Jeffrey Dahmer. I think the Menendez brothers was pretty accurate for the most part, right?
That's when he really started to kind of veer away from some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, some stuff was really over-dramatized, like, whenever they go to separate prisons.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how that happened at all. Mm. They obviously, I'm not going to spoil what happened, but, yeah, they like, dramatized that one. That was, like, one that Mom pointed out, was, like, that one, that just makes no sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then the Ed Gein
story. So the story does, but, like.
Yeah, the Ed Gein story was super... like blown out of proportion. A lot of things were changed, but I think
it's just because there's so much speculation.
Yeah. There's so much speculation, but I think a lot of it for me, like when I was watching it, my thoughts were like, okay. Cause like Ed Gein was schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what we saw on the show, I felt like, and for me watching it personally was how he saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a lot of stuff wasn't real in real life, but like in his mind, it could have been, especially like watch episode 7 and watch how Charlie Hunnam performs like this. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about, this specific scene. And like, it all comes together because then you're kind of like, well, what was real and what was not?
Mm.
And I think it worked out really well. And I think everything, especially, and then even like the last 10 minutes of the show of episode 8, like it's clearly not real, but it's a nice touch to what the show was trying to show.
I wonder if they would have done it more like The Machinist, because The Machinist feels so all over the place and just the whole movie feels like there's like a puzzle piece that's just missing a bunch of pieces, and you're just taking another piece from another set and just trying to force it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because that's what his brain is doing. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. It's good. And then at the very last, like, 2 minutes, just all clicks. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they would have done
take. That show, or that game story was so... It was all over the place because you get...
The Eric and Lamananda's one is probably the most all over the place.
You, like, just... Okay, maybe...
No, because the first episode, it immediately starts with, like, their ceremony.
Okay.
And then it tells the story of kind of what happened. And then it just starts jumping all over the place. Mm. I mean, okay. Dahmer does that a lot. Dahmer probably did it the most. Dahmer's just completely all over the place.
I didn't think it was. I really didn't think it was. I felt like it was pretty linear to and kind of followed the timeline fairly well. I think for me, though, for the Gene story, I think that one is the most out of place because of what they were all over the place because of what they were doing. They were showing his story, but at the same time, they were showing where the inspiration came from and the influences of Ed Gein came to fruition. So you're skipping multiple different time frames and then reverting back. But then also there's stuff where they're talking about, I think that's the comic, the Bitch of Buchenwald. Yeah. And like showing the real aspects of that character, mm-hmm. or that person. I felt like that was way more all over the place than like Dahmer. I can't speak for the Menendez brothers, but because especially with stuff like that, like true story stuff, if I'm not watching it in theaters, as stuff is happening, I look up what the real story part of it is. So like, especially like in Ed Gein's story, like the different characters, like I looked up like Adeline. His actual crimes. Yeah. Her, like what role she really played in his real life. And what the show did was they took her first story of how they were in a 20-year relationship. He proposed, and then a couple days later, she retracted all of that and, you know, changed her story to really, he had like hardly any interaction with her. So yeah, I think it was, that's what I like to do. I just like to look up what was real, what was not. And then, so which made this show kind of feel all over the place. Because if you look at my search history for this show, it's like...
You're definitely on a watch list.
Ed Gein crimes, the real life people, the Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Silence of the Lambs, and like all that specific timelines, the book, Psycho.
You're definitely going to be put on a watch list.
I don't think so. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I do wonder, I was thinking the other day, if the reason Ryan Murphy wants to do all these like type of shows and whatnot is because he kind of wants to be as influential or kind of like how Alfred Hitchcock was for Psycho. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know why movie theaters now, you go at 5:30 for a screening is because of Alfred Hitchcock and Psycho. Mm-hmm. Because usually movies are just playing loop, and he didn't want people to just like walk in halfway through and then finish the movie and then start it again. Mm-hmm. He was like, it'll ruin like all the plot points. So he was like, oh, let's set up this thing where you do. What was that?
It's your lightsaber.
It died. But
that's weird.
It was so weird. Died. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So that threw me off. But he was like wanting to do these like single screenings, and then they're like, oh, we're making more money off of doing it this way. Mm-hmm. So because of that, they stuck with that. But I think he wanted to be kind of, because everyone was like grossed out by Psycho, and like it completely changed horror forever. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think if Psycho didn't exist, I don't think Dexter would exist. Because mm-hmm. it played on the ideological effect of Frankenstein's monster is that we don't perceive him as a monster because we see him. Mm-hmm. So it almost, they tried to give Norman Bates sympathy. Mm-hmm. Like, give the audience sympathy for his character.
Yeah.
So I think Ryan Murphy wants to try to be that, like, I literally had the word and I lost it, but he wants to be that, like, he wants to be the next Hitchcock.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
Like,
yeah, I mean, if he continues doing what he's doing, I mean, you got Lizzie Borden coming up next, and then who knows? I mean, there's so many stories like that you could tell, or that he could tell, to where, like, you could span this out 12 seasons. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I'm surprised that he didn't do, like, John Wayne Gacy.
Well, there's something on Peacock coming out on October 16th, and it's a movie, I believe. But it's not like a true, it's not like a documentary type movie. It's like, it's would be like what Ryan Murphy would do. So, okay. Yeah. So that's already been, and it's been done multiple times already, I feel like, the John Wayne Gacy stuff. So,
and that, I mean, you could also even, because
he wants to do more modern people. So, not necessarily like serial killers from before, more tragic things that have happened in the last 10, 20 years. So, which would be interesting to see like what he could do with that. I don't know. Yeah. That's all I have.
Yeah. That's all I have. Yeah. So you can see at the top of our description, there's our website for all of our social medias, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and then all of our other listening platforms, on, you want to say Tuesday's episode.
Yeah, we're going to find time to, we'll go watch The Smashing Machine, and then that should be Tuesday's episode. Should be.
Yeah. And we'll meet again in your nightmares.
What's that from?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.